Welcome back to another episode of the Tan and Jay Man Show. It is college football week officially, week one. So it is our Big Ten preview show, which is one of probably our top two favorite shows of the year, I would say. So we are really looking forward to that. How you doing tonight, Tana Man?
Doing good, Jay Man. Glad it is college football week one. Already got an upset during college football week zero. Number 10 ranked Florida State Seminoles went down at the hands of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets over in Dublin, Ireland. So your ACC champs already took an L.
Yeah, in the ACC too. That was an ACC.
In the ACC. Yep. No. I saw the point spread at 10. I'm like, eh, Florida State's gonna cover that. I thought they'd come out fired up for the way their season ended last year, getting left outside the four teams for the college football playoff. But new season, new players, doesn't matter.
They talked a whole lot of trash all offseason too, and how mad they were. And then they came out, and there's a reason why DJ Ugalugalegalegalugalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegalegal favorites. So,
yep.
I don't know why
yep.
they thought it'd be any different there.
I don't either. I mean, he put up decent stats against Oregon State, but he kind of struggled against the big boys of the Pac-12. So, yeah, he's going to have to adjust pretty quickly because the ACC is going to be no joke. So, yep. I mean, they can still win the conference. They can still get in the playoff. They could probably even lose one more game overall. Two games, they'll probably still get in if they run the table. But, yeah, not the right way to start the season, but for Georgia Tech, heck of a way to start the season.
So. Yeah, I was the high man on Georgia Tech. I had them finishing seventh in the ACC. I think you had them 10th. So I didn't watch any of it, but I know going in, supposedly their defensive line is very, very good, and it played out that way.
Yep. So yeah, I'm excited to dive into the Big Ten. We'll be giving our conference standings predictions. Also, we'll be predicting all 18 games. Yes, 18 non-conference games in week one for the Big Ten this year. So we'll be doing our confident points from points 1 through 18. It's kind of hard to do because there's a lot of what should be easy wins for the Big Ten this week. Yeah. So it's kind of hard to rank them.
I screwed up when I originally did it because I accidentally duplicated a number and I had to go back and fix everything. And the worst part was I duplicated like number 7. So there was like 11 games I screwed up. I'm like, oh man.
Yep.
I did.
Yep. Yep. So, but I got some birdie or bogey trivia with me today. Well, tonight, I should say. We'll see how you can do. It is Big Ten football related. Pretty, I won't say easy question, but it's not a complicated one like I had to really think about weeks ago how I was going to word it. Let me say that. Sorry, my dog's whining in the background, distracting me. Anyways, I want to know who is the Big Ten all-time leading rusher for rushing yards.
Okay.
A player.
All-time leader in rushing yards. Okay. A couple guys pop into my brain, but I'm probably going to get it wrong. Let's be honest. I'm going to choose the wrong one. But Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House has upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. Starting after Labor Day, they will be closed Monday through Wednesdays. Sunday through Wednesday, I should say. Open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 4 to 9 on Thursdays and then 4 to 10 on Friday and Saturday. Good grub. Real good grub. They had Bedia ramen over the weekend, which I love Beria short rib. It is just fantastic, and I'm sure that's really good with noodles too. So just a glimpse into the food you can get at Arlington Public House.
Yeah, and those hours are going to be their fall and winter hours. So come spring, they'll probably open up more days per week, I assume. But for the time being, those are going to be their new days and hours. So. All right, before we dive into the Big Ten, Jamin, you want to get educated?
Let's do it.
Want to learn about some sporting events that have happened on August 26th. Let's see here. All right. Here you go, cricket guy. Here you go. On this day, 1909, Australian cricket all-rounder Frank T. Tarrant scores 145 and takes 13-67 in a counting game for Middlesex as they beat Gloucester by an innings and 31 runs in a single day.
Man, he was a legendary all-arounder, I tell you what.
It's crazy every week we read these, and the terminology and the wording is completely different. It just sounds like a foreign language.
I kind of understand the scoring now. There's a TikTok I watched that kind of broke it down, and it made it really easy to understand. It seems like it'd be a pretty fun game to follow, really. I just need to dive in.
Yeah, you do. Yes, you do. On this day, 1930, Chicago Cubs' Hack Wilson hit his 44th home run, breaking Chuck Klein's NL record.
Yeah, he has a record that I don't think will be touched in baseball, and that is the single-season RBI record. He drove in 191 runs sometime in the early 30s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's not going to be broken, I wouldn't think. But let's see here. On the day 1939, the first Major League Baseball telecast was on W2XBS, Cincinnati Reds defeating the Brooklyn Dodgers at Ebbets Field in Brooklyn. Hmm. On this day 1947, the Dodgers' Dan Bankhead became the MLB's first African-American pitcher to homers in his first MLB at bat in 16-3 loss to Pittsburgh. Okay. I screwed the reading of that one up. So he was the first African American pitcher, but he also homered in his first at bat.
That's a pretty good day.
On the day 1955, the first color telecast, it was on NBC, of a tennis match happened. It was the Davis Cup. On the day 1971, Bobby Orr signed a 5-year contract with the Boston Bruins worth $1 million. It was the first $1 million contract in NHL history.
About $200,000 a year. It's pretty good.
Yeah, he was a good one. On the day 1972, the 20th Summer Olympic Games opened in where?
72? Is that when the Israeli team was held hostage? I don't know either. I don't know.
It was held in Munich, West Germany.
Yes, it was.
I know nothing about that Olympics. So. I'm not good when it comes to Olympic trivia at all.
Absolutely dreadful.
Let's see here. On this day, 1995, Brian Lara completes his 7th Test cricket century, scoring 179 at the Oval in London. I expect a report back next week with what that means.
No, thank you. I decline that assignment.
All right. There was some Olympic stuff on this day in 2004. I don't know why this is in here. Oh, I think I do, but I'm reading it because this is fantastic. On this day in 2014, Burger King agrees to purchase Canadian donut chain Tim Hortons for $11.4 billion. And then I see over here, Tim Horton was an NHL player before he started the business, Tim Hortons. That's
interesting. I did not know that. As a food guy, I should have known that. I'm not a Canadian, though. But
you used to be a big Burger King guy. There was one time you used to be a big Burger King guy.
Of course, we had limited options in Rochester, and Burger King just happened to be one of them. But throwback to middle school. You bring back that chicken whopper, and I'll be all over it again. But I don't think they've had it since about 2005, I remember, 2005, 2006.
You know, every once in a while, I crave Burger King, and I'm always disappointed.
Always, yeah.
But once in a while, I don't know why. It's like I see an ad or something. I'm like, that sounds good. I'm going to go get Burger King.
I'm never overly enthused with after we're done eating.
Right. Other day in 2020, the Milwaukee Bucks forfeit their NBA playoff game It was after the shooting that went down in Milwaukee. I completely forgot about that.
Me too.
Of Jacob Blake. Yeah. I forgot the playoffs would have been played this time of year in 2020.
Oh, that's a good season. Point. I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is Milwaukee Bucks playing in August?
Yeah. And that'll do it for this week's On This Day, which is brought to you by Like It Is Every Week, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them on Instagram and on Facebook at Mooney Woodcrafts as their handle on Instagram. And if you let them know the Tan and J Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. So, hey, football season's here. Get your sign orders in. Send us pictures. We'll put them out on here right on our live podcast every Monday. We'll show off the work Thad's doing. I've had a couple signs made for him. I've showed them off on the podcast. So, makes a perfect gift, like I said, for any home, office, or man cave. So get your sign orders in, 15% off your first one.
Before we do the Big Ten predictions, you want to do pick six real quick, which is Big Ten related. Once you said
Speaking Munich, of Mooney Woodcrafts, Thad Mooney here on Facebook confirmed Munich was the hostage situation, and he also says Tim Hortons is superior when you're in Ohio.
When you're in Ohio. Interesting. Yeah, once you said Munich, and I knew it was the hostage situation. But, pick six is Big Ten related. Four of the schools are entering the Big Ten out on the West Coast, which is still incredibly strange to me. Oregon, Washington, UCLA, and USC. So I took six players, all that are in the Hall of Fame, at least one from each program. Teams like Oregon and Washington don't have that many. So two UCLA, two USC, one Oregon, and one Washington. Starting with Oregon, Dan Fouts.
Dan Fouts, I had a feeling he was going to be one of these. Charger, one of the best. I would say probably top 10 quarterback of all time that never won a Super Bowl.
I put him in the top 10.
Probably not top 5, but probably top 10.
Yeah.
I think I could be mistaken here, but I think he played his whole career for the Chargers. I think we're pretty darn close, if not.
Pretty darn close.
But he was probably the best Charger quarterback until Phillip Rivers came along.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Out of Washington, Warren Moon.
He could launch the football, that's for sure. Played for a lot of teams in the NFL. Houston Oilers is probably where he was most known for, but he also played for the Seahawks. I think the Vikings. I know Randall Cunningham played for the Vikings, but I think Warren Moon did too. I get those two mixed up sometimes. But Warren Moon could launch the ball. I remember he was an old man on the NFL video games when I started playing video games, but he could still had good arm strength. So, yeah. He was good for the Huskies, though, in college.
He was, yeah. Out of UCLA, maybe one of the worst quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame, Troy Aikman.
Troy Aikman started off his career at Oklahoma, then transferred to UCLA. For some reason, when I was young, I had some of those, like McFarlane, athlete action figures that would just like stand up. You couldn't play with them. But for some reason, I had a Troy Aikman UCLA one. Don't know why. A lot of the other ones made sense, but I don't know why I had that one. But yeah, Troy Aikman, okay commentator. Take him or leave him.
Yeah.
He's definitely not a fan of Skip Bayless.
No, not many people are.
Not many people are.
Him especially. He's kind of the guy that made Skip famous, really.
Yep. So.
Also out of UCLA, Jonathan Ogden.
Oh, one of the best tackles of all time, Baltimore Raven legend. You're going Hall of Fame route. I didn't know who you were going to throw out at me at UCLA. I'm thinking like Cade McNown or something in my head, a lefty that was a bust for the Bears, Maurice Jones-Drew. But Ogden, I couldn't have told you he went to UCLA, to be honest.
I didn't really know that either until I looked it up.
Nope. I just remember him as a pro.
Yeah. Moving on to USC, Junior Seau.
Junior Seau, rest in peace. Junior Seau, another legendary Charger. When you think Chargers, Junior Seau is probably on your Mount Rushmore, along with LaDainian Tomlinson, Antonio Gates probably. Phillip Rivers might be the fourth. I mean, most of the Chargers Mount Rushmore, I guess, are the new ones. But, yeah, Junior was a beast for the Chargers. And then even was key member of some of the Patriot runs towards the end. So
no one remembers who he played with in between.
He was on the Dolphins. Yeah.
Two years. Two mediocre seasons there.
Completely forgot about that until you brought it up.
Yeah. Last one here, USC Lynn Swan.
He did not know he went there for some reason, but Pittsburgh Steeler legend. Good target for Bradshaw and some of those Super Bowl winning teams. Smooth is how I call Lynn Swan on the old highlights.
Yeah. That's going to do it.
That is going to do it for this week's Pick 6 segment, which is brought to you by Legos Every Week, Performa Print Suit Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting, Performa Print Suit Promo Group has over 50 years. Yes, that is 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. Or if you'd rather go the email route, you can email her at barbara.vanweinsberg@proforma.com. All righty, J-Man. The Big Ten Conference. Like you mentioned, expanded from 14 teams to 18. I kind of missed when it was 11, to be honest.
Me too. Yeah.
But it hasn't been 11 in many, many years. But just as everybody was getting really used to 14 because it's been about a decade, here comes 18. Really, it was supposed to be 16. USC and UCLA, that was set in stone for, what, a year or two now? But then the Oregon-Washington stuff happened, like, overnight. It was a year ago in early August. It happened kind of overnight, as felt like, and they just rushed them in because they were panicking because the Pac-12 was going to disintegrate. So here we are. It's going to take a long time to get used to. I don't think the Big Ten's done expanding. I think we'll get to 20 eventually, but I'm not even going to guess on who those other two teams could be. That's a subject for another podcast on another day. So, but who do you have winning Big Ten this year?
So I did the playoff predictor where I went game by game and chose each.
I did as well.
And so I have their records here too. And I have Oregon in their inaugural season winning the Big Ten at 12-0.
Great minds think alike. Quack, quack. I got Oregon 12-0 and, of course, 9-0 in the Big Ten.
Yeah. Dylan Gabriel from Oklahoma. I mean, he had a gruesome leg injury at UCF a few years ago. And no one thought he'd even play football again. Then he has an unbelievable year at Oklahoma. Transfers to Oregon. 42 total touchdowns last year. Jordan James returns. They had 11 rushing touchdowns. Tez Johnson returns about over 1,100 yards receiving and 10 touchdowns. Just they'll put up 45, 50 points a game. You're just going to have to try to outscore them, and I don't think you'll be able to.
Yeah, with Dan Lanning's offense, I mean, the guy's 22-5 in the last 2 years. You can kind of insert pretty much any quarterback. Yeah. That offense is going to take off. But it is pretty nice. Must be nice, I guess, for Oregon fans to go from Bo Nix, who lit it up for 2 years at Oregon, right to Dylan Gabriel. Yes, that's pretty good company there. Their defense does only return four starters. But, of course, like most of the big boys, they went portal heavy and filled in a lot of gaps. So
that's Clemson.
What?
Clemson never goes portal heavy. They're the only big boy that doesn't. But
yeah. Yep. And the jury's still out to see how that's going to end up for Dabo. But even though I predicted it to go well, but we'll see. So we will see if he can restock that defense.
Yeah.
So we agreed on number one. I'm guessing we're going to agree on the runner-up pick as well.
I have Ohio State.
I got the Ohio State as well with 11-1 record, 8-1 in the conference, with their lone loss being to Oregon.
We're together on this.
We won't be for long, I'm sure.
Chip Kelly left UCLA as a head coach to become OC at Ohio State. It's a better gig these days if you don't want to worry about transfer portal, all that. And UCLA is a pretty tough job anyway. But picked up transfer quarterback Will Howard from Kansas State. Quinshon Judkins from Ole Miss forms one of the best 1-2 punch running backs in Big Ten history with him and Travion Henderson. Emeka Egbuka returns. Four guys on the All-Big Ten defense led by transfer from Bama, Caleb Downs. So it'll be a 1-2, a very top-heavy league this year with Oregon and Ohio State.
Yeah, they're going to be in the mix for a championship. Mm-hmm. They're ranked number two. I mean, yeah, Oregon and Ohio State are on a different level. If that's not the Big Ten championship, I'm going to be surprised. I mean, look at Ohio State. They returned 9 starters on defense, on a defense that only gave up 11.2 points per game last year.
Yeah,
I don't think Michigan's winning again against Ohio State this year.
Not this year.
Don't think so.
No. And, I mean, Chip had one of the most innovative and best offenses ever at Oregon. And then, of course, he went to the NFL. But if he can just bring that to Ohio State, I know the game's changed in the 10 years since he's been at Oregon. But great offensive mind, obviously.
Yep, it'll be interesting. Assuming he has a lot of success as the OC Ohio State, what happens next year for him? Because you got to think he's using this as a stepping stone to get a big job somewhere.
You would think, but at the same time, maybe he's okay with just coming up with crazy offensive plays, you know?
And that's assuming everything goes well and he's still there, because if Ohio State loses a couple games, Ryan Day's probably fired. And who knows what happens for Chip Kelly's future.
Yeah.
Who you got number 3?
I have Penn State finished in 3rd.
They're my number 4.
I have them at 9-3.
So do I.
Drew Aller returns. He threw 25 touchdowns, only 2 picks last year, but it felt like he wasn't very well liked by the fans.
Yeah, I don't know. Not very aggressive quarterback.
Yeah.
I think he needs a big year this year because he's good. Don't get me wrong, but he came into Penn State with so much hype.
Yeah.
5-star, if I'm not mistaken, one of the top quarterbacks in the country. So, yeah, that's a lot of hype.
I think he made his debut as a freshman at Purdue, right?
He did. Yep. Yep. He played a little bit.
Yeah.
Sean Clifford was the main guy.
Right.
And then he come up as like a change of pace guy. Didn't make any mistakes that night.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the only glimpse I've seen of him live. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it just seemed like for whatever reason, the fans didn't like him. Obviously stats look great, but that doesn't tell the whole story. Only 2 picks shows he's probably not overly aggressive. But of course you don't want a quarterback to turn the ball over a bunch either. Yeah, I mean, they'll always play really good defense there at Penn State. Abdul Carter is a beast on that defensive line. Did lose Chop Robinson to the NFL.
What a name.
Yeah, it's a great name. And he had a pretty good camp, too. It's just all about their offense. It seems like it's been about their offense for years now as to why they can't get over the hump.
Yeah, James Franklin's got to knock off some of the big boys. I mean, they're projected by a lot of people to make the playoff. I don't see it with a 9-3 record. I think they'll just miss out. I am interested to see how the defense does. Manny Diaz, their former defensive coordinator, is now the head coach at Duke. Mm-hmm. So former Indiana head coach Tom Allen is now their new DC there in Happy Valley. So that'll be interesting to keep an eye on. But
I don't remember him having too many good defenses at Indiana.
Well, he's going to have a lot more talent now at Penn State than he ever did at Indiana.
Yeah.
So, but we will see. They did rank 3rd and 9th nationally in fewest points allowed the last 2 seasons.
Yeah.
So, and I think they return a decent amount. So, should be good. Yeah, they are my number 4, like I said. Okay. So,
you got finishing 3rd.
I got the Iowa Hawkeyes.
I have them 6th. I also have them 9-3, though. So, I have 4 teams at 9-3.
And I got to preface this. I did this by the playoff predictor, which goes game by game.
Yep.
So just like our NFL one, when you do this next week, there's going to be some teams I don't honestly believe that could be this good. I have Iowa 11-1, 8-1 in the conference.
They only play one ranked team so far. They have one of the easiest schedules in the country from a Power 4 school. Yeah. They're set up. They are a very, very sexy pick, sexy bet, I should say, to make the college football playoff.
But can they score, Josh?
That's the question. Second worst scoring offense in the country last season, but they were 4th best scoring defense. Phil Parker is arguably the best defensive coordinator in the country.
Yeah, he is incredible.
They fired Brian Ferentz, hired Tim Lester, who was the head coach at Western Michigan for 5 years or so.
He used to be a Purdue quarterback coach under Daryl Hazel 1 year.
I remember that. His offense's final year at Western Michigan ranked 119th in the country, 19 points a game. So,
oh, trust me, I believe it. Playing with Western Michigan on college football and seeing that roster. I believe it. Better my Louisville roster, but that's a story for another day. So
you honestly can't get any worse than Brian Ferentz, though, or how bad that offense was.
Yeah.
Deacon Hill, who was I would put Deacon Hill in the 3 worst starting quarterbacks to ever play Big Ten football. He was so bad. He he transferred. Yeah. You want to take a guess where he's at?
I remember seeing this, but it's still Division One, right?
Barely. It's Utah Valley State.
I don't think they are Division
One. I don't either.
I think they're FCS.
There had to be somebody on that roster better than him that was healthy, but clearly there
wasn't. You know, he was the only reason Iowa didn't stomp Purdue, and Purdue lost by 6 up there, I think, to Iowa last year. But I've seen Purdue lose to a lot of bad quarterbacks. Rocky Lombardi, Michigan State, Eastern Michigan quarterback, a lot of MAC quarterbacks over the years. Deacon Hill might have been the worst one.
He was one of the worst three quarterbacks, and I think Iowa fans would agree that he was the worst starting quarterback in the history of Iowa.
Yeah. Well, and another thing, I was losing a guy who was a weapon, Cooper DeJean.
Yeah.
He could turn a punt return into a touchdown mm-hmm. anytime and did last year, and they kind of got screwed. Or you know, interception or fumbled all time, anytime. So they do lose that weapon on defense. That kind of helped their scoring average, because that's one thing a football statistic I've never agreed with is like defense scoring helping the offensive average.
Yeah.
I don't think that's right, but
yeah.
So who do you have number 4?
I have Washington.
I have them at 9.
I have them finishing 9-3. They lost their entire offense and coaching staff.
4 in the conference. So,
lost their entire offense, coaching staff, bunch of transfers coming. Will Rogers from Mississippi State, 94 career touchdown passes, was bad last year after, of course, Mike Leach passed away. He could not replicate what he did under Leach. Jonah Coleman, running back from Arizona, 6.8 yards carry. Jeremiah Hunter from Cal, 2,000 career receiving yards, 13 touchdowns, 3 transfers on the O-line. It'll be interesting. This was one that I think I just did it based on their schedule, because of course I was picking them, and they were probably fresh in my brain from playing in the national title game last year. So I probably made them a little better than they will be, but I have Washington 4th. Got to follow where the playoff predictor tells me.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, like you said, what Jed Fish does. He brought some defensive transfers over from Arizona. Washington's defense last year gave up 5.8 yards a snap. So definitely need some rebuilding there on the defense side of the ball. Yeah. So, but I have them 9th, but 8-4. 5-4 so in the conference. So
you're really not. You're only a game behind me on that one, because I have.
I just have a lot of bunch teams with the weird scheduling. So, who you got number 5?
I have Southern Cal.
They're my number 7 at 8-4, but 7-2 in conference.
I have USC at 9-3. Big year for Lincoln Riley. I would say he's feeling some heat after what ended up being a pretty disastrous season with Chicago Bears proclaimed greatest quarterback to ever be born on Caleb Williams, which that's getting old. We'll talk about that next week. Miller Moss is their projected quarterback. He was pretty good as a backup, but of course that offense hummed. Horrendous defensively. 35 points
Alex a game. Alex Grinch was a joke as a defensive coordinator there.
Yeah, and they fired him midseason too.
He was better. Awful.
They hired cross conference and cross city rival defensive coordinator Danton Lynn from USC or UCLA, excuse me. And he had the 11th ranked defense in the country last year at UCLA. So if they could just stop somebody, they could be really good, but you just don't know what to expect. So I think Lincoln will be feeling a little bit of heat.
Yeah, we'll see how Miller Moss does filling in for the shoes of Caleb Williams. Yeah. So I have them. Where did I say I have them? I have them 7th, but like I said, 8-4, 7-2 in conference. Mm-hmm. And some of these teams, the team I have of number 5 and 6, one of them I have better overall record but worst conference record. The other one I have them tied overall record with USC, worst conference record but beating USC head-to-head. That's why I leapfrogged them. So, yeah, my rankings are all over the place.
Yeah, this almost screws us up more picking each game.
Yep. So they were your number 5, correct?
Correct.
My number five is
Iowa was my 6, so.
Okay. My number 5 is Nebraska. Got them at 9-3, 6-3 in the conference. This isn't Scott Frost's Nebraska program anymore.
Nope.
I hate to say it by somebody who likes to root against Nebraska from time to time. Matt Rhule, I think, is going to get them going this year. But last year, his team had 31 turnovers. Yep. It was a minus 17 turnover margin. Got to cut that down.
They were one of the worst teams in games decided by 7 points or less.
Yes.
They lost, what, like 18 in a row or something like that?
Yeah, they lost five just last year by one score. They do have Boy Wonder, as their fans are calling him, five-star freshman Dylan Riola, I believe is how you pronounce his last name, Riola. He was committed to Georgia, then flipped. Looks like Patrick Mahomes. Where's number 15? Tries to have the mannerisms like Patrick Mahomes. Did look really good in their spring game, I will say. But we will see. This is a Nebraska program that hasn't been bowling since 2016.
Yep. Do you remember Dylan's dad, Dominic, with the Detroit Lions? Longtime offensive lineman.
I do not.
He retired probably, I would just say, 6-7 years ago. Good offensive lineman there. Offense scored 18 points a game last year. But defense was much improved under Matt Rhule, which they only gave up 18 points a game.
Right.
And I mean, Matt Rhule's proven program builder. He did it at Temple, did it at Baylor. I mean, his first season at Baylor, he went 1-11, and then he had him, 10, 11 wins in his third year. Of course, he was a disaster in Carolina, but sometimes guys just aren't cut out for the NFL. Like at Nick Saban for one,
Steve Spurrier.
Yeah. There's countless guys that, have not had success in the NFL, but have been great in college. So I have Nebraska finishing eighth at 8-4.
It's been interesting with Rhule after he leaves those programs. Those programs suffer big time.
They do.
So yeah, he knows when to get out. Knows when to get out. So you got Iowa number 6, if I remember correctly. I have the Michigan Wolverines, the defending national champions, number 6 at 8-4, 6-3 in the conference.
I haven't finished in 7th at 8-4.
All right. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. No Jim Harbaugh. Of course, he's on to the NFL at the Chargers. But the guy who took over in the interim late last year, Sherrone Moore, is the head man now. They're not going to be using Connor Stallions this year. Or at least not him. Maybe they'll use somebody else. I don't know.
Yeah.
But a lot of question marks there in Ann Arbor. Yeah. A lot of question marks.
Yeah, lost J.J. McCarthy to the NFL, Blake Corum to the NFL. Donovan Edwards poised for a big year. It seems like he's been poised for a big year for a few years now, and now he finally gets to be the dude there. Alex Orgy, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, projected starting quarterback. Defense will always be good. They're led by Mason Graham and Will Johnson. It's crazy how, they cheat and they still – kind of deny everything. They don't take any sort of accountability.
Oh no.
You look at Iowa, they cheated. They had some sort of recruiting violation, and now Kirk Ferentz and one other coach is suspended game one. Mm-hmm. And they took full responsibility. You have not seen that once for Michigan.
No, and you won't. My main concern for Wolverine fans is they lost all five starters on the offensive line.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know they got great back, like you said, Donovan Edwards, but brand new quarterback for that team. So that's going to be something to watch out for. Mm-hmm. I mean, they still have tons of talent, more than a good percentage of the college football teams out there. But I just don't think they're going to be as strong as they have in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
All right. So you said your seventh. Have you said your eighth team yet?
That's Nebraska.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Who do you have at 9?
I have Wisconsin.
They are my number 10.
I have them going 7-5.
I'm 6-6, 4-5 in conference.
New quarterback, Tyler Van Dyke, who was a disappointment for my Canes last year. Wide receiver, Will Pauling returns, poised for a big year. Lost Braylon Allen to the Jets, but Chez Malusi returns after he redshirted due to injury. Defense has been good for a long time, and I assume they'll continue to be good.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting year for Fickell. It was an interesting year one up there for him. I mean, I still think he is a really good coach, but this could test him a little bit, I think, up there in Madison this year. But secondary should be really good on defense, but the line, it sounds like it's got really thin as far as depth goes, so that's a concern. But they got a lot of transfers too. But like one of those transfers they think can come right in and make an impact is from William & Mary. You just don't know how those guys are gonna come in and adjust a Big Ten football compared to whoever William & Mary plays. I don't even know who they play. So But yeah, the offense has to score more than 19.9 points per game, like they were last year. So, but they'll run the ball. But this is about Fickell showed last year. They're not the Wisconsin of old that just runs and runs. He's got to mix
they're different.
Kind of an air raid style too. So, well, going back to my number eight, since I had Wisconsin 10, I have the Rutgers Scarlet Knights at number eight with 8-4 record, 6-3 in conference. I think they're going to be a lot better than Vegas is giving them credit for.
Yeah, I have them 11th, finishing 6-6. The name on the front of the jersey kind of probably took that a little bit from me. But they won 7 games last year. Picked up transfer quarterback Ethan Kaliak-Manis from Minnesota. He's just okay. But they have a stud running back, Kyle Monen guy. He's back 1,262 yards, 8 touchdowns. They were really solid defensively last year, only giving up 21 points a game. So I think I might be a little down on Rutgers and what they'll end up, because I think they'll be pretty good with that running game and defense.
Well, if I remember correctly, and you know it's hard to remember when we went game by game, I don't think their schedule is too bad.
Not too bad.
This year, you know, they're one of the many programs over there in the East Division that's glad that the East and West aren't divisions anymore.
Yeah.
They're definitely one of those. But, you know, last year their defense was sneaky good. They held teams at 21.2 points per game, in 4.99 yards a snap. So 6 starters back on defense. And according to where I got my my notes, they said all of them are all Big Ten caliber players. So if they can hold points down, yeah, I think Shiano's a good coach. So.
Yeah.
And they got, let's see, is that correct? They got all starters back on offense?
No, because they brought in a transfer quarterback.
Oh, nope, you're right. 12 starters overall. Okay, I read that wrong. 12 starters overall, and 6 of them are defense. So 6 on each side of the ball. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So are we on number 11 now?
I still have to do my number 10. Rutgers was my number 11.
Okay.
My number 10 is Michigan State.
They are my number 15.
Dang. I have them 7-5. New head coach Jonathan Smith brought in projected starting quarterback Aiden Childs with him from Oregon State. He was a backup last year under the guy who's at Florida State now. a bunch of transfers on defense. He's a good coach, though. I mean, he turned Oregon State into a pretty solid program, which they were one of the worst D1 – not D1, but worst Power 5 at the time of programs. He made them very respectable.
Yeah, I got him at 4-8, 1-8. 4-8, 2-7 in conference.
Ouch.
I don't know. I don't know a lot about Smith coming from Oregon State. I know they had a really good year last year. I think maybe he'll eventually get them going. I mean, he can't do worse than Mel Tucker was doing after. Well, Mel Tucker did good first year, and they threw a bunch of money at him, gave him a huge contract, and then it went downhill really quickly for Mel Tucker, and then he got in trouble off the field.
But
defense has to improve. They gave up 30.9 points per game in Big Ten play last year. And offensive line is supposed to be a major concern there as well. So that's always tough when you have a new quarterback coming in the program.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see how it goes up there for Sparty.
Yeah.
My number 11, I almost don't even want to say, because I can hear everybody now, and I was shocked when this came out this way. It's the Purdue Boilermakers at 6-6. At 6-6.
Of course it is.
11th. I thought I had them 5-7. At the very end, it popped up 6-6. So if they go 6-6, I'm going to be doing flips on this podcast, because mainly because of their schedule. That's why a lot of people have them 17th, 18th, maybe 16th in the conference, because their schedule's so darn hard. 4 of their 12 opponents are ranked in the top 10. Right now, like, I honestly think they'll be a better team this year, but their record could replicate last year's 4-8 mark pretty easily. I mean, a lot of things have to go their way to get to that 6-6 mark. They have to win some swing games like Illinois, Northwestern, Nebraska, Michigan State. Those are swing games. Indiana. Those are all swing games there. You got to win a couple of those, because you're probably not beating any of those 4 top 10 teams. But here's my bold prediction, J-Man. So they get 3 of those 4 top 10 teams at home in Notre Dame, Oregon, Penn State. Purdue beats one of them.
Okay.
And I actually had them beating Penn State.
Okay.
That's in November. Who knows?
I'd rather play them in September than November.
Yeah. And Purdue's only beat Penn State, I think, twice since Penn State's joined the conference. So it's probably not going to happen. But I don't see them beating Oregon on a Friday night. Notre Dame on a Saturday afternoon is their second game of the season. They'll be coming off a bye. They haven't beat Notre Dame since 07. Granted, they haven't played them too many times since 07, really. Yeah. But this team is going to go how Hudson Card goes, as long as he can stay healthy. I think he's a pretty darn good quarterback. I think when healthy, he can be a top five quarterback in the Big Ten. I think he's got that skill set. I think he approved it, showed it off last year against Minnesota and Indiana down to was kind of healthy, but he was banged up for the back half of the season, missed the Northwestern game. They lost on the road to Northwestern, which I think they would have won if he would have played because they were pretty competitive with Bennett Meredith and Ryan Brown. But a lot of question marks, a lot of transfer portal guys on both sides of the ball for Ryan Walters. So we will see how it goes in West Lafayette. I'm guessing you have him 17th or 18th.
I do. I don't have him 18th, though. So I have him 17th. One thing that's
been what record?
3-9. One thing that's I think I have him losing all the swing games. Honestly, I think that's that's stayed consistent over the 7-8 years we've been doing this. You always have your team about two wins better than they are.
Yep.
We'll see. They'll probably be somewhere in the middle, likely. I can see them get to 6-6. I was surprised I had them 3-9, honestly, but that schedule is brutal.
I thought I had them 5-7 because I think when I was asked earlier today by Sean Shriver, very good friend of the show, he was asking my dad and I different record predictions according to Vegas over under. I had Purdue 5-7. And then I did the schedule thing after. I don't know how I came out 6-6. I must have gave them a swing game. I know I didn't pick them against Nebraska because I had Nebraska start off like 6-0. So I don't know who, I don't know which one I, besides Penn State, that I would have had that I don't think will happen. It might have been at Michigan State, maybe, or maybe at Indiana.
Where's it?
I think I had them losing at Michigan State. So I don't know.
They play at Indiana. I think that's the difference between IU and Purdue. I think I just gave the home team. I'm always way too generous to the home teams when we're doing that playoff predictor thing.
Bad Mooney saying, going bowling, we accept your prediction. Oh, yeah. If Purdue can get 6-6, I'll be thrilled. I'll be thrilled.
So you have them 11th.
Yes, it's 6-6 with a 4-5 conference record.
Right. I have Rutgers 11th at 6-6. Okay.
At 12, I have Indiana Hoosiers at 5-7 with a 2-7 conference record. And I, earlier when I was texting Sean, I had them 7-5. So
I have Indiana 16th at 4-8. New coach, Kurt Cignetti. Ton of excitement for the first time in a while, really. 14 of 22 projected starters or transfers led by Curtis Rourke from Ohio. Struggled last season, but threw 25 tutties in 22. Obviously, when you hire a new coach, there's going to be a level of excitement around you. But it feels like IU's had some decent excitement so far.
I think if I read it correctly, they lost more players to the portal than any Division I school, or at least Power Four school. But they also brought in the most as well. Yeah. So it kind of balanced itself out. He brought a lot in from James Madison. He was 52-9 there, James Madison, from 2019 to 2023. So that's why Hoosier fans are kind of excited. And their schedule, they got a chance early. They can really jump out and get 4 or 5, maybe even 6 wins right off the bat and get really rolling. So, but I think that's one of the reasons I had them 5-7. I had them losing week 3 at UCLA, which is going to be a key swing game, I think, if they do want to go bowling.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
I have Maryland finishing 12th at 6-6, 8 wins last season. Billy Edwards Jr., projected quarterback, he was only 33% completion percentage, backing up Tua's brother. Roman Hemby, great. He'd be a great fantasy pickup in a PPR league. 38 catches out of the backfield. Ty Felton, Caden Prather, good wide receiver duo. Solid D from last year, so they'll be okay.
I have them at 13th, 5-7 with a 2-7 record in conference. So it's going to be weird seeing somebody back there that's not Tua's little brother for the first time in a while.
Yeah, long time. Yeah.
The Big Ten's all-time leader in passing yards.
It's crazy. Yeah. 13th, I have Illinois finishing 6-6.
I got them 14th at 5-7, 3-6 in the conference.
Yeah, that, I think I wouldn't even say 7-5 is their ceiling. I think probably 6-6 is their ceiling. I don't think they'll be much worse than 5-7, though, so I think they'll be right around there. Pretty mediocre, honestly. But from what I've been reading, people around the program very bullish on the offense. They think they'll score a lot of points. Luke Altmyer returns, and he was supposedly been fantastic throughout the spring and in training camp. But Caden Fagan had a fantastic freshman year before he got injured. He jumped about everyone on the depth chart as a true freshman running back, and the offense really took off when he went in there. Then he got hurt at the end of the year. But they are scared to death of this defense and not sure they're going to be able to stop anyone. Of course, they lose Johnny Newton to the NFL, and they're still recovering from losing, you know, four starting defensive backs to the NFL and after 2022 season. So I think they'll be right around 5-7, 6-6. I probably gave them a little bump.
How many wins do the line I need to get J-Man back on the bandwagon?
Eight.
Eight? Okay.
Yep. So it's going to be tough because they
seven have, wouldn't get you back on? 7-5 with the new Big Ten?
It might. Maybe. It might.
They might at least have you flipping them on TV.
Yeah. I'll probably watch. I don't know if I watch the whole thing on Thursday because it's an 8 o'clocker and I got a 9-month-old.
Yes.
I got to get up for work. So I probably won't watch the whole thing, yeah. But I'll have them on. I'll just say that on Thursday. Right. But 7-5 might get me back, but they have a pretty tough schedule too. I know they have to go to Oregon. They really have to win Saturday night, week 2 against Kansas.
That's a swing game.
That's a big swing game. I mean, you have a not national audience, top 20 team comes in, yep, which is Kansas, which is weird when they schedule this. It's like, oh, those are two easy wins, and now Kansas is halfway.
What happens? Yeah.
They need to win that one because it's at home. But
I think I had them losing that one. That's why they're out on the outside looking in for me in the bowl picture.
I think I had them winning that one. So that's really the only difference between you and I.
Yep.
But
15th, I had the Spartans. So
okay. 14th, I have Northwestern.
I got them 18th. I got them worse in conference.
5-7, incredible job by David Braun last year to somehow get to 8 wins after taking over an absolute dumpster fire. When I think both of us and most prognosticators thought they'd win maybe 1 or 2, and they got to 8 wins. Quarterback transfer from Mississippi State, Mike Wright. He's okay, backing up Will Rogers when he got hurt. 10 of 11 starters on defense are upperclassmen, so I have some experience there. But they'll probably be just mediocre.
I was too hard on them. I have them going 3-9 and 0-9 in conference. I was probably way too hard on them. I don't know. I think – I'm not saying Braun's not a good coach because what he did last year was amazing. Mm-hmm. But I think it kind of comes back down to reality a little bit this year.
I think you're –
different stadium. Am I correct on that? Different football stadium this year too.
Right on the lake. They tore down Ryan Field and they put up just temporary stands right on the lake though. So that'll be interesting come November with that wind and everything right off the lake. But I agree with you. I probably have them a little higher than I should have here because I think they'll.
I just figured you and your Northwestern hating ways.
I do hate Northwestern, but again, it's hard to discriminate when you do the playoff predictor.
Yep.
So if we didn't do the playoff predictor, I probably would have had them 16th through 18th, somewhere in there.
Yeah, but,
that's fair. I have UCLA finishing 15th.
I got them 17th at 4-8, 2-7 in conference. And honestly, if I didn't do the playoff predictor, they're probably my last.
Yeah. They are not supposed to be very good. I have them 4-8 as well. Deshaun Foster, new head coach. Ethan Garber.
Their fans are wondering why they hired him.
Yeah. It seemed like a panic move. Hey, we need some – or we need an alum. It was kind of felt like one of those moves. Yes. But then you're going to have to fire that alum someday. And then, Ethan Garber's pretty good in limited time last season. TJ Harden, 800 yards rushing, 8 rushing touchdowns. Pretty good wide receiver duo out there with Sturdivant and Loya. And defense was great last year, as I said, but they lost their DC to USC. So
very interesting name as their new OC this year, Eric Bieniemy.
Oh, that's right. I somehow missed that.
Yeah, was complaining about not getting head coaching jobs. Now he's the OC at UCLA. So. Yeah,
good luck to you, fella. Yeah.
Yes. Hey, if he can do something with there, maybe he gets a call somewhere.
I have IU 16th, Purdue 17th.
I have Minnesota 16th, and that's the last team I haven't talked about.
Okay, I have Minnesota 18th, 3-9, transfer quarterback Max Brosmer from New Hampshire, who threw 29 touchdowns, 5 picks, At New Hampshire, though.
Quite can he row? Can he row the boat?
That's a question. You know, it seems like they do a lot of rowing up there in New Hampshire.
I think good old PJ Stick is done. Yeah. It has fallen flat.
Once you start losing some games, for sure it does.
I got him going 4-8, 1-8 in conference. That momentum's gone. That momentum's gone.
Darius Taylor, as a true freshman last year, had 800 yards rushing in only six games before he got hurt, so they're expecting big things. But I don't think they'll be very good. And, yeah, once you go have a season where you go 3-9, that whole row the boat thing, sprint to the other end at the start of the fourth quarter thing is going to – people start rolling their eyes after a while.
Yep. They kind of hit their ceiling a couple of years ago, I felt like, under him when they got like 9 wins 1 year. I'm like, that's pretty darn impressive. But, with the new Big Ten, there's teams like – Minnesota, Purdue, Illinois, Indiana. There's a whole bunch. More than not, you just kind of have to accept it is what it is and kind of maybe scale back your expectations. Of course, the coaches and players aren't going to do that, but as fans kind of have to. That Mooney here on Facebook says, sink the boat. Oh, I think that boat's a sinking.
I do too.
But good stuff. Good stuff. We'll have to see how badly our predictions age, because I'm sure they will. But let's get to the week one games. Like I said, we got a slate of 18 for the Big Ten this week, starting with a couple Thursday nighters. First one being Howard at Rutgers.
Give me Rutgers. HBCUs don't really have much of a chance against Big Ten programs. Rutgers for 15 points.
Man, look at this. Great minds think alike. I got the Scarlet Knights for 15. Yeah. Kind of an intriguing matchup here. We were just talking about Minnesota. Mack Brown bringing his North Carolina Tar Heels up to Minnesota. Take on PJ Fleck.
Yeah, Drake May's in the NFL, but I still take North Carolina for 2.
I actually took Boat Boy and his Gophers for 3.
That's one of their 3 or 4 wins you have them
have. Yeah, I don't know why, but I don't even remember what I had North Carolina in the ACC, like 9th, 10th, 11th.
I don't remember either. I deleted it all.
Eastern Illinois at Illinois. Could Illinois struggle with one of the directional schools in the state?
Again, my mother-in-law's alma mater there, Eastern Illinois.
Was she classmates with Tony Romo? No, I'm just kidding.
She was not, but she...
Sean Payton?
Almost overlapped with Sean Payton. Right. She was like, I think she was 3 years younger than Sean. Okay. So it was pretty close. Right. But give me Illinois for 13.
I got Illinois for 12. Yeah, I think they roll.
They better.
Florida Atlantic at Michigan State.
I have Michigan State for 8.
I got the Spartans for 11. That's a Friday nighter. And as is this one, this one could be sneaky. Mm-hmm. I pulled it off of College Football 25. Then my whole year went downhill after that. Western Michigan at Wisconsin.
Give me Wisconsin for 9. No reason. Just give me Wisconsin.
I got the Badgers for 7. So I think this is one. It could be kind of tight through 3 quarters. Then the Badgers pull away in the 4th. Yeah. Michigan State's known to do that.
Always.
Early in the season on these. Yeah. So keep an eye on that Michigan State Florida Atlantic game. Indiana State at Purdue, Nooner.
Give me Purdue for 11. I think they handle them.
I got Purdue for 14. I think the spread opened up today like 33-point favorites for Purdue. And our good buddy Evan Webb was like, 33-point favorites. I'm like, this is an Indiana State team that won one game last year. So
yeah, I will never forget those Hazel years where it took like a pick 6 to beat Indiana State.
It took a pick by Ricardo Allen at the 20-yard line when Indiana State was going in and scored to beat him by 6. Second game out of the year.
Yeah, that Indiana State team, I think, only won 1 or 2 games too.
That was Purdue's one win that year. So yeah, good times. Illinois State led by Brock Spack at number 25, Iowa.
That game's going to be 9-6 at halftime.
Probably.
And Iowa wins 13-6.
How many points?
10.
I got the Hawkeyes for 13. Actually, I'll make a bold prediction. They come up, put up 30 points. Make a statement right out of the gate. UConn at Maryland.
Give me Maryland for 14. UConn needs to disband that football program.
Yeah, I thought Mora Jr. kind of had something going there after 2 years ago. Yeah, it went back down to earth last year. I got Maryland for 9. This is the Peacock Saturday night game, I believe. I know it's on Peacock. Number 8, Penn State at West Virginia.
Give me Penn State for 3.
I got the Penn State Nittany Lions for 2. If Timmy Lasagna was there at West Virginia, I might take West Virginia. He's not.
Inside joke
there. UTEP, University of Texas, El Paso at Nebraska.
Give me Nebraska for 7.
I got Nebraska for 8. I think they handle them pretty easily, but like I said, there's a lot of mismatches.
True freshman quarterback in his first game could be a little jitters.
Oh, yeah. Or he could be Patrick Mahomes.
He could
be. Akron at number 2, Ohio State. I think it's a 50-point spread.
It's a 50-point spread, but the over-under, I think, set at 58, so they're expecting a shutout. give me Ohio State for 16.
I got Buckeyes for 16 as well. Miami, Ohio at Northwestern.
I think this will be fairly close. I don't think Miami, Ohio is any good, but Northwestern seems like struggles with schools like this. Give me Northwestern for 5.
I got Northwestern for 6, so we're pretty close there. Florida International at Indiana.
Give me Indiana for 6.
I got Indiana for 10, so I think they went pretty comfortably. Idaho Vandals. Hey, Mark Schlereth said they're going to be good. They're going to be special this year. At number 3, Oregon.
This will be the J-Man's book of prediction of the week.
Oh, my gosh.
I think Oregon wins by 70-plus. So, 70-plus. It's got to be over 70 for me to get it.
Is there even a line on this game?
I doubt it. J-Man's Book It Prediction of the Week brought to you by Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance Agent Travis Watcher for Life Home Auto. Renters, workers' comp, or farm insurance. Contact Travis 219-869 or travis.watchering@infb.com. Oregon for 18.
I got the Ducks for 18. Yeah, they're going to – this could be a massacre. UCLA at Hawaii.
This could be a tough one. This will be a tough one for UCLA. You got the time difference isn't as extreme going from, you know, West Coast to Hawaii, but trap game here. Give me UCLA for 4.
I got the Bruins for 5. Hawaii's not supposed to be good. It's in the Colt Brennan era, June Jones era, but like you said, yeah, anytime you travel there, it's not that easy. So yeah. Bruins for 5. Fresno State at Michigan.
Give me Michigan for 12.
I got Michigan for 4. So I think they kind of struggle out of the gate, but then they end up taking care of business. So Fresno State was having a heck of a year last year for a while, then fell apart.
Sure. Yeah.
Weber State at Washington.
I got Washington for 17.
I do as well. Then easily the Big Ten game of the week played at neutral field, Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, where the Raiders play. Louisiana State, LSU versus Southern Cal, USC.
Give me LSU for 1.
Great minds think alike again, my friend. Brian Kelly and the boys for 1.
Yeah. I got one baseball thing before we go, because I promised, again, good friend of the show.
Well, one other prediction I want to do real quick. Notre Dame at Texas A&M.
Oh, I forgot about that one. Give me Notre Dame.
I'm taking A&M. I think that was the only loss I had them taken all year, so taking
that'd be great if that happened. Forgot Notre Dame played. Forgot about Notre Dame. I don't even think about Notre Dame. baseball thing. Danny Jansen became the first player ever to play for both teams in one game. He was a member of the Blue Jays. The game was suspended mid-game due to rain, I believe. I assume it's rain. And then he got traded from the Blue Jays to the Red Sox, and he played for the Red Sox in that suspended game today. It was interesting because now they went over the, you know, the PA pinch hitting for Danny Jansen, Dalton Varsho, and now in at catcher for the Red Sox, Danny Jansen. So it was a baseball is really the only sport now where you can see something you've never seen before in sports. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I had to look it up when you guys were talking about Danny Jansen. I'm like, who's this guy? Looked it up on X, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Something we'll probably never see again.
Yeah.
All right, J-Man, birdie or bogey time. Who's the all-time rushing yards leader in Big Ten?
Oh, man. There's 3 Wisconsin guys in my head.
Well, I'll give you this clue. There's 3 Wisconsin guys in top 5.
That doesn't
5
help
in
me
the top
all.
10 and 5 in the top 10.
That doesn't help me at all.
I know it doesn't help you. You're on the right track. That's what I was trying to say.
Monty Ball.
Monty Ball was 5th with 5,140. Melvin Gordon was 8th with 4,915.
Ron Dane
was number 1 with 6,397. Number 2 was Jonathan Taylor, 6,170.
You know, Taylor wasn't even on my radar, and he should have been. Completely forgot about him. But
number 3, Justin Jackson.
Nope, I screwed up. I keep pressing buttons again. There we are. Oh, man. Three straight weeks I've screwed something up. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. We'll be back at it with another episode next Monday on Labor Day, which is our NFL preview.
Yes. Have a good Labor Day weekend, everybody. Enjoy some college football.
Have a fantastic week.